Hey everybody out there, this is Donnell Scallon. You're listening to Houston on Seattle Wave Radio.
Standing by for launch command. T-minus 2 minutes. Standing by for launch command. T-minus 1 minute. Launch.
Choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.
Filled with chaos where the dreamers struggle to find their way, there is a light. In an industry riddled with sacrifice and self-doubt, there is a voice. At a time when we need one another more than ever, there is hope. Houston, we have a program.
Welcome to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio and recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration platform. Today's guest on Houston is Jeffrey Castle. Quite frankly, that music that led into this introduction was called Swallowtail. That's by Jeffrey Castle. We're going to talk about that song and a bunch of other songs and great stuff today. We're going to get cut off with Jeffrey. Let's back up for a second, talk about this guy. So Jeffrey, if you didn't know, is a world-class violinist. His weapon of choice is the electric six-string violin. He ranges in styles from Jimi Hendrix to Celtic to bluegrass and to a little guy named Mozart. With 13-plus albums to his name, numerous performances to include Broadway, he shared stages with members of Heart, Queen, Yes, numerous violin tracks included on TV and movies, and we're just getting started. I've seen this artist perform quite a few times, and he is quite the badass. Please join me in welcoming our guest today, Mr. Jeffrey Castle.
Yay.
Woo! Excellent. Well, my tongue got tied there for a second. It's probably because I'm so excited. That happens sometimes. How are you, man?
I am good. How are you guys?
Well, we are doing good. I think Cracky's getting ready to go on vacation.
Yeah.
I am. So I'm just mailing it in today.
Hey, before we get to the interview, is anybody here upset the Bengals didn't win the Super Bowl? You? Same here.
I was fully rooting. I mean, they were the Cinderella story, you know? It's like, nobody had them for the Super Bowl this year, and there they are. And I was like, man, that would be so cool if they won. But, you know, congratulations to L.A. It's a game, and both sides play. Somebody's got to win, and they pulled it out with that drive in the fourth quarter. So,
And Stafford suffered enough for Detroit. He was due.
He was doing at least a little something, but I think right at the end there, Aaron Donald won that game.
So hey, Jeffrey, we're gonna get into the last couple of years for sure, but I see that you've got a bunch of shows coming up in March.
Yeah, I do. I'm back, you know. The first show that I'm going to be playing, the first concert in 2 years, is going to be in Port Angeles on March 11th at they have this big hall there at the Elks Club, which is great because I think they can serve alcohol. I'm going to bring my St. Patrick's celebration to the Elks Club there. And, I'll be doing shows in Bothell at the North Shore Performing Arts Center. And
March 12th.
At Historic Everett Theater and at the Kirkland Performance Center. And So I'm doing four theater concerts in about 7 days.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. Get right back on that bicycle and pedal it. Get back on that horse. Yeah, I mean, and you know, I'm not saying you have to have this, man, but having alcohol with your kind of music is perfect. I mean, how do you get to dance anyway?
It's hard to, like, you know, have Irish drinking songs going on when there's no Irish drinking going on. You know, these two things kind of, you know, but I mean, it's not all about alcohol. It's about music, and everybody can have a good time. The thing I love about doing theater shows with this music is that you can have all ages there, which right. is really important to me because it's hard for kids to be exposed to live music. You know, if it's happening in a bar, they can't get in. So,
it's very European. I mean, I remember my time living over in Germany. I mean, yeah, it's educational. And I mean, especially with what's happened in the world the last couple of years, coming out to see one of your concerts, it's an education as well. I mean, that's not why you go, obviously. You go to party and shake your ass. But I mean, yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, if we stop letting kids hear the kind of music that you're doing, which is roots, it's just going to disappear. It's all going to end up being, auto-tuned pop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, each generation finds the music that they like, but if you're never exposed to, like, real musicians playing music together in a convivial setting, you are not going to know what that is. You know, you need to give people that experience. You need to give kids that exposure. And, you know, every time I get an opportunity, like for instance, I'm not just doing, you know, four theater shows in the Puget Sound region. I'm also doing school shows. I'm back going and performing for school kids in Rhode Island and California, and I'm bouncing all over the place. I'm going to be doing some shows in Minnesota and Alaska. I mean, you know, I'm going from like zero gigs for 2 years to playing in like six different states in a 4 week period.
So I got a question. I mean, I poured a glass of bourbon just for this podcast, so I'm ready to go here. But after a layoff like 2 years where you haven't played live like that in front of people, are there any jitters, or are you like a seasoned pro and you're just ready to go get it?
Oh, it's like riding a bicycle for me. I just love jumping right back into it. I think the thing, it's not even jitters or nervousness about performing. It's more like I can't wait to get on stage and play for people in person. That's
just that energy. Yeah, cool.
Well, and I'm happy that you're jumping in with us, you know, right at the cusp of that. You know, it's funny. This is like a movie. We're starting at the end where, you know, it's like a Walt Disney movie. Everything's good. Jeffrey's back. He's got more shows. Got to do whatever. But let's the one thing we love to do in Houston, you know, because you've been a guest for us before, is for people to get some insight into the artist. I think that really helps them identify with more, especially when they see you up doing what you're doing and your love. I know this might be a little bit painful, but let's rewind the clock a little bit. Let's go back to February, March of 2020. So when this thing first started, did you think, this will pass over? Or did you see something bigger coming?
Initially I was sort of like, oh, this is ridiculous, and let's keep playing, let's keep going. And then ironically, I saw an interview on Joe Rogan's podcast with a guy named Osterholm, who's an epidemiologist and a viral infection specialist. And he was saying, okay, well, we have this thing that's coming out of China. It's airborne, and it affects the upper respiratory system, and it's going to be serious, and it's going to be global. And I sort of stopped, thought about it for a second. You know, I'm in a high risk group, actually. I've had asthma since I was a kid, you know, and, you know, so I basically I looked around the house. My wife is a glass carver, and I looked around the house and I was like, wow, we are set with PPP around here, you know. Full face respirators and like all of it, you know? And so, you know, we just basically started wearing masks before any of the orders came out to wear masks. And, it's like all of my gigs went away, you know, suddenly without warning. It was basically like, oh, you got a career and now you don't. So there was some gnashing of teeth, but then, you know, I realized, like, well, I'm never going to have this much free time again, ever. So,
true statement.
So why don't I do something with it? So to keep myself busy and entertained, I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Well, that was a little change.
Yeah, all I did was learn how to crochet.
Yeah. I mean, I can only do Netflix and chill for so long before I'm about to lose my mind.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like I said, my wife's an artist, and she needed room to do her art. So we had this residential house in the Kirkland area. And, well, everybody in my band, you know, we're all musicians, right? So that means we all are, you know, we're jacks of all trades. you know, but general contractors, construction, finished carpenters. So basically the band came over and helped me renovate my house and sold the house and got 14 acres outside of Santa Fe.
Well, congratulations.
And so we're building an artist compound down here. And we're setting, Shannon's going to have more square footage to do her art than we actually had square footage in the house we had in Kirkland.
You took advantage of an obstacle.
Well, that's it. It's like, hey, life hands you lemons, make lemonade. So, I love it down here. We always love Santa Fe. And people were thinking like, are you getting out of Seattle because of this, that, or the other thing? And I'm like, no. I'm not running away from anything. I'm running towards something. A whole different mindset.
Good man.
And I'm 15 minutes from an airport, so I can fly back up anytime I want.
Well, hey, this is all great news, but I'm gonna stop you for a second because you're painting this nice picture of how this all went down, and for those people out there who are listening who don't know a lot about you, your wife Shannon, like you've been talking about, is an artist as well. Two artists living in the same house, pandemic, closed in. What prevented you from killing one another?
Oh, actually, what was funny was the pandemic and all of the stuff we were doing. We actually get along better now than.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like we were trapped with each other in a confined space and all of our like unspoken conflicts came out and like, because I make my own hours and I work freelance and she makes her own hours and she works freelance. You know, we were home together a lot anyway. So really, the only difference was it was like I'm heading into a dry spell where I don't have any shows.
Right. Well, I applaud you for that.
How many years have you been together?
We've been together for about 20 years now.
Awesome. Congratulations, man.
Yeah. A lot of the things that were sort of typical for folks with the pandemic, that feeling of being trapped and all of these other things, and a break in your routine where you're used to commuting to work every day and you see each other at night and you have like dinner and watch Wheel of Fortune or whatever the heck it is that you do. That wasn't us because we're anything but typical. Because it's like I get to drink when I work. she does whatever she wants to do, makes these phenomenal glass pieces. If anybody wants to look it up, her website is Shannon Castle Art at shannoncastleart.com.
And, beautiful.
And if you want to get tickets to my show, it's jeffreycastle.com. There's links everywhere.
And we'll put those links in the show release as well. But we're going to talk about that again later. We want to remind people. But yeah, and I will tell you, Shannon is a very, very, very talented artist. And I'm happy to hear you say that. It really says a lot about the character and the strength of a relationship, right? Because relationships can be tough. And I know Jess and I had a very similar thing where we just grew stronger together, which makes it harder that she's on tour right now. But anyway, that's how it is. But that's fantastic. Okay, so one last question. Thank you for sharing all that too. I don't know if you've thought about this, but if you had one takeaway from this last couple of years, good, bad, other, what would your biggest takeaway be from this last couple of years?
Well, my biggest takeaway is that people will believe some really crazy stuff. It never really occurred to me just how gullible a large portion of the population was until this whole thing happened. And, it just never occurred to me. I saw that interview that on Rogan's podcast with Osterholm, and I got the whole picture right away, started wearing a mask. And the second they came out with vaccines, I ran for it. And, I wanted to be first in line for it, got my booster and all that. And it just makes sense to me. I'm just like, this is logical. And there are people out there believing all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm out in the country here. There's lots of horses out here. And so the feed store has, that ivermectin thing, and it's to take worms out of horses. It's not, I mean, people will believe the darndest things, it's just a head scratcher.
When you say that people are gullible and they'll believe anything, as soon as you said that, I held my breath because that conversation could go either way.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who might be saying about you or us, oh, they're so gullible by running out and being first in line for that vaccine. So it's a real interesting time these days, where you have to hold your breath every time somebody makes a comment like that. It's crazy.
That's my point. I don't think there's ever been a better time to try to sell somebody the Brooklyn Bridge than right now.
Wait a minute. How did you know? I just put an offer on that this morning on eBay.
Oh man, you're gonna love it.
Oh God. Well, and I want to. I know this is today's show is on you, Jeffrey. But I just want to. You inspired me to say my takeaway. It's the same thing, right? I mean, what people believe. But man, I was blown away. A worldwide pandemic, no matter what side you fall on it, I've never seen such nastiness, people on people, and not everybody, but it's like, I have, I would say probably a third of my friends, good close friends in my circle, won't take the vaccine, won't do whatever. I disagree with them. They disagree with me. They tell me I'm being gullible. But at the end of the day, as long as we try to take care of each other, wear the mask, do whatever, we still love them. But I mean, some of the stuff that was being spewed out there, families and this and that, it just was nasty. And the reason I thought about that is because I think that's one of the reasons why not all artists, but artists like you are right back on the horse, because the people who are in power, who can put you in place, who know you can draw and know what you present, why wouldn't they go to you first?
Oh man, that's a high compliment and I really appreciate that.
It's true, man. I mean, because I've spent time with you in interviews, hanging out at a club, watching you perform. You're a very intentional guy. It's very important for you that your audience has a good time. From your posts to whatever. And the world needs artists, always needs artists, but needs artists especially like yourself. And there's others out there, of course, too. I mean, my wife is definitely the same mindset, but is to, in spite of the craziness, remind people that we have hope. We have something we need to live for.
Remind people that we all have way more in common than we do that keeps us apart. And it's hard to hate your neighbor if you're arm in arm singing an Irish drinking song.
Exactly.
Really hard to hate your neighbor if you're having fun together. That's the thing. It's like, let's all come together and let's all realize that we're all on this big blue ball hurtling through space, and we're all on the same big blue ball hurtling through space. And hey, life is short. Let's have fun, have a good time, and quit quibbling about things.
Yeah. We can disagree. I guarantee you the four of us right here will agree on a lot, and we'll probably disagree on some stuff. So it makes life interesting. Sure. And if I'm being truthful, the three of us will probably disagree with Cracky more than anything else. But we still love him. We still love him. Hey, you know what? This is great, and we have more to find out from you, Jeffrey. But speaking of songs and dancing, whatever, let's go to our first song. Let's hear a song off your Celtic Knights album. Let's go with Streets of Inwood first. Why don't you set this song up for for our audience?
Well, Streets of Inwood is kind of an interesting name because I used to live in Inwood. It's a neighborhood in Manhattan. And they had some great Irish pubs up there. So I put together this arrangement it just takes me back to that neighborhood and, hoisting a pint of Guinness at the local, at Paddy Riley's.
All right. That is a great introduction. And with that, just want to thank our audience for listening to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio. This is Streets of Inwood. by our guest today, Mr. Jeffrey Castle.
Thank you.
you're back on Houston. Awesome. Amazing song. I got to tell you something. So I've listened to that album many times before, and I'm not just saying that I have. I love it. I mean, I love that. And I want to ask you a question about Andrew Landers later, but there's something that hit me about that specific song that did not. It hit me for the first time this morning when I was listening to this stuff again. One of my favorite Pink Floyd songs is a song called "On the Turning Away." Absolutely love that, and it hit me. I was like, the intro. Okay, now the meat of this song isn't that for sure, but the intro of this song is so similar to "On the Turning Away." Not like you copied, but just the feel and the vibe. And it
summons the same emotions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It held me. Because before, I mean, it depends. You know, when you listen to music, you're doing whatever, but it really held me. It actually stopped me from what I was doing. And it just hit me. So hopefully you take that as a compliment, because that is.
I take that as a high compliment. I love Pink Floyd. I really do. I'm a classic rock guy at heart. And,
yes, you are.
On the Turning Away is an amazing song. I mean, you know, if I was going to cover a Pink Floyd song, that would probably be it.
That would be, I mean, listen, man, your song was fantastic. If you were to do a cover, I'd be first in line. That would be a great one. Anyway, that's great. Oh, and I don't want to fail to mention that our buddy Eric Roberts on the keys obliterates the piano solo on that song. So, yeah, it's great. So, anyway, so moving forward, just reminding people, we talked a little bit about at the beginning. You are our first guest that we've had on as a repeat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've never. I mean, you know, obviously we're doing the podcast. It's there you go. Tighten that tie. Yeah, no, we're. We don't do a ton of them. We try to keep consistent, and we kind of pick and choose artists that we really feel are really contributing. And so, just so you know, I know there's a lot of compliments coming your way, but you know there should be, and especially now that you're getting back out there. My only question is, why the hell are you here for a second time? Who paid you? Because the last time I heard you wanted to get on a plane.
Look up glutton for punishment in the dictionary. It's like, hi.
Yeah, there you go.
Normally people ask what I'm doing here, but no. Ray always tells people, we got to have you back sometime, but you're the first one he actually has. So that does say a lot right there. I have a question, though.
That's an honor.
On the Celtic stuff, I mean, I love that stuff. Ireland's one of my favorite places. I've been there a few times. We were talking about my trip coming up. I'm actually going out to Scotland. I'll probably shoot over to Dublin. And one of my favorite things is just going to the pubs and you hit one of those sessions. How did you fall into that style of music? I mean, go back. What was your training? And then how did you choose what genres to pursue along the way?
Here's the thing. It's like, you know, I used to have a band called the Guarneri Underground when I first moved out to Seattle. And the whole idea of the band was to take people on a trip around the world musically. And I had a girl in the band who could, you know, sing in, you know, five languages and play 10 instruments. And I had a guy who used to play with Fela Kuti, who I guess is up for the Rock Hall of Fame this year. And in Africa, and, you know, so we were like all kinds of different languages, different styles, all kinds of stuff. And one of the stops we would make was a stop in Ireland on the trip around the world musically. And every time we would stop in Ireland, that's when the party would start.
Absolutely,
everybody loved it. Everybody would go nuts. And you know, I always loved that music. I love the feel. I love the connection to that culture. I loved everything about it. And so I just kind of scratched my head and said, well, why don't I just, instead of taking a trip around the world, we'll just go to Ireland and stay there.
I love that idea. I mean, it gives me chills just thinking about those nights where you just sit in a pub and you got the guys there, you know, with the fiddle and the guitar and whoever just shows up. And they all just play off each other, and it's all about having a beer and that camaraderie, right? Like we were talking about before, how the music just brings everybody together. It's just, it's a party. It's beautiful.
But that's the other thing is, you know, we were talking about how kids are being prevented from experiencing, you know, live music. Well, you know, I mean, you know, in an Irish pub, the music is participatory. It's not, you're not paying for a ticket and going and sitting in a seat and watching somebody else do something, you know, that they're trained to do as a professional. Everybody's joining in. Everybody's singing along. If you have an instrument, bring it and you play. Some people play better than others, but it all adds up to a sense of community. And it's that community spirit that I want to try to bring, you know, every time I play anywhere, every time I do any, you know, I want to try to connect people back to that sense of participatory arts. You know,
have you been out to Ireland?
We're all bringing what we've got. It could be a little, it could be a lot, but we're all in it together. And that's what makes, you know, an Irish pub so magical.
Have you been out to Ireland?
I've been to Dublin, and I had a friend of mine who has a band there. And I sat in on a couple of things. I was there for like 15 minutes. You know, it was like one of those, you know, layover deals. I made the most of my layover in Dublin, but I want to get back there and do a tour. I almost had a tour of the entire island lined up and ready to go. And then, you know, but Bredo's all about this. It's like, you can do all the planning and all the work and all the advanced stuff. And then one little cog in the machine breaks and the whole thing falls apart.
How's the cards fall?
I am looking to get back there as soon as I can.
Well, if you need a tour manager for that tour, let me know. I'm volunteering my services here.
Perfect.
Cracky, being a CPA, because you drink whiskey, you'd actually be a really good tour manager. I've done that before. If they're rock bands, you're being a babysitter. If they're pros like Jeffrey here, then you're making sure there's whiskey and food and that the hotel doesn't have cockroaches on it. But I got to digress for 1 second. We have an overachiever as a guest today. See, most people would land in an airport and have a layover, and they'd go get a burger and maybe take a nap on a bench. He jumps out, grabs a taxi, goes in, plays in a set at a pub, gets back on, gets on a hotel, in a plane, and leave.
Of course. I just hope that we're talking and folks are watching this and they're thinking, you know, wow, I haven't seen Jeffrey in like 2 years. Here he is, and he's still got the same hat. And we want to come out and see him. You know, it's like, you know, I'm just looking forward to reconnecting with all of my friends of the Northwest who I haven't seen now in like 2 years. It's crazy.
I think it's going to be successful for you. You're definitely an all-star, and it's important. And we're going to push the hell out of it. I mean, seriously, I mean, for what we can with our podcast, all the pages, push, all the Instagrams, all the things that have, even some of the stuff that's come up since the pandemic, for Christ's sake. And talking about all this, I mean, obviously St. Paddy's Day is coming up, whatever, and you have 13 plus albums out there and numerous other things. Let's focus in on Celtic Knight. So that's 16 tracks of captivating music. I know that was a few years ago, but that's the music that we're playing today on the show is all from Celtic Knights. Why don't you talk about that? And maybe if you want to talk about some of your brothers that you had with you on that album.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the reason it's called Celtic Knight is because, there used to be this pub called the Wild Rover in Kirkland. It closed about 2 weeks ago. I was looking forward to going just to say hi to everybody, and boom, it's gone. They on Monday nights for about 8 years, every Monday night, I'd get my boys together and we would do Celtic Night at the Wild Rover. It turned into a thing, you know. I had Darren Watkins on drums. I had Eric Robert on keys for a long time. And then when he moved to Nashville, Mark Cardenas took over. And I had Steve Boyce on bass, and a whole rotating cast of characters, and we made a lot of good friends along the way. And so then it's like we had all of this music that there was no better rehearsal than doing a gig every Monday for 8 years. And we went into the studio, and the engineer was used to working with bands where, you know, it's like one guy does this, and then another guy does that, and then another guy does this other thing, and then you mix it all. No, I said, we're going to do it all live, mic it up, wire it up, so we can do everything live together the way we did it at the Wild Rover. And so what you're hearing, I mean, those are live takes. That was the band doing it live.
Well, it sounds live.
We recorded 30 songs in like 4 days.
Jeez. I think even the non-musicians out there are going, what? I mean, that is I don't care whether you practice or did gigs every Monday for 8 years or not. That's still an ambitious feat right there.
It was nuts. But it was fun. I mean, I really miss playing that music. I mean, it was like every week I set your clock by it. We'd show up play tunes, and we always had a packed house on a Monday, which was really fun and kind of unusual.
on Monday nights, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's like, okay, what are your party nights in Kirkland? Sunday and Monday. Bernie Castle, Jeffrey Castle.
And now, sadly, no, never, no more.
Yeah, no, yeah, we'll play the Wild Rover, no, day, never, no more.
I had Jessica's best friend, Circa. I started doing some shows there, and they started, it was just a side gig, a rock karaoke thing, and it was going well. And then bam. Yeah. Two. I mean, how many clubs have we lost over the course of the same? I mean, in Tacoma alone, we lost Louis G's. We lost the Swiss, and then Seattle, the J&M Cafe, now the Wild. I mean, and the list goes on, but.
That's it. It's like, I was really worried about this at the beginning of the pandemic. It's like, what's going to be left of that, like, entrance level, that entry level tier of the music industry where, you get to try your stuff out and play for folks who are walking in to have, have a drink or whatever, that entry level that used to be everywhere,
Right.
I used to play bars all over New York City and all up and down the East Coast. And it's just sort of like, there were places to play live music everywhere. And I mean, it was already on its way down. And then the pandemic was like a knife in the heart, Yeah. But there's still folks hanging on. And everybody out there listening needs to understand that if you like live music, you need to go out and support it. Because it's not gonna keep going on its own. It needs you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I apologize for that to our listening audience. Whatever. Speaking of the wife, she was calling me from tour, and it jumped onto my laptop there. So what is the with all the stuff we're talking about, the good and the bad, right? We're coming out of this. I think we can tell everything's opening back up. Has this forced you to create any change in the way that you approach gigging, touring, recording, anything? Or are you just of the mindset of that was then, this is now, we're going to go for it?
That was then, this is now. Away we go. Jump back on a horse and start riding. But I have some ideas for some new musical projects, and I've got some folks I've met along the way and some different things. It's like Celtic Knight was my last release, and that was 2017. So it's like
2017.
I've got 5 years worth of new music kind of bottled up in me. And so I don't know. Maybe I'll get to come back on your show for a third time and talk about my new album one of these days.
Yeah. I mean, we'd love it. I mean, you always have a place here for sure. I just love that. I just, I can't imagine that your next release isn't just going to be, not that the other ones haven't been, but I mean, just 5 years of bottled up and lessons learned, right? I think no matter what we take, the last couple of years, there's those.
We're losing Ray. While we're waiting for him to come back, you mentioned Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And I've been there a couple of times, and they got a great, like, the visual arts community. By the way, I peeked at Shannon's website while we were talking. I've never seen anything like that.
Nobody does what she does because they're saying. The process is just ridiculous.
I had no idea what you were talking about. I checked it out, and I'm blown away. But Santa Fe is mostly, I picture, you know, Santa Fe more the visual arts. The artisans, the craftsmen, and that. How's the music scene down there?
Oh, there's lots of great players, and but the thing is, I don't really want to be part of a local scene. You know, I didn't move here so I could, try to make money playing in bars in New Mexico. That's not, when I said, I moved to a place where I'm 15 minutes from an airport. See, that's my deal. And the other thing too about Santa Fe that's kind of cool is, I mean, it's equidistant from like five different NFL cities.
Nice.
Now the pieces are coming together.
Live here and Santa Fe is also the third largest art market in the world. It's like Paris, New York, Santa Fe. More people buy art here than just about anywhere else in the world. So it's a cool place to be. And anywhere I want to get in the world, I can get there from here without too much trouble.
I think that's a really good strategy too, because for those out there listening who aren't artists, making it in your hometown is always a difficult thing. So when Jeffrey's talking about not wanting to play the local bar, so it's not that you wouldn't sit in here and there and do whatever, but you've put your 10,000 times what, 5 hours in, if you will.
Let me check my watch. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. And with that, hey, I think it's time to jump in for another song, fellas. What do you think?
Yeah.
Cool. So we go to Spancel Hill, which is off of Celtic Spancel. Knight.
Yeah.
Spancel.
Yeah. Spancel Hill is a song of longing and nostalgia. Enjoy.
Thank you for listening to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio. This is Spancel Hill, by our guest today, Mr. Jeffrey Cass.
Last night, as I lay dreaming, pleasant days gone by. My mind been bent on rambling, to Ireland I did fly. I stepped on board a vision, and I follow with my will. Until next I came to anchor at the cross of Spancel Hill. The day before the fair, when Ireland's sons and daughters and crowds assembled there. The young, the old, the brave and the bold, they came for sport and kill. And there was jovial conversation at the cross of Spancel Hill. when I lived in Spencer Hill. And the pride of Spencer Hill. Many miles from Spencer Hill.
And we are back. Cracky, what'd you think?
Awesome. I told you, I love this stuff, and just it plays right into my heart.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's funny. It's like one of the guys who was playing guitar on the project is a guy named J.P. Hennessy, who grew up in County Cork. And, he knows a lot of these songs from back in Ireland. And he's like, you guys have your own spin on things. And I'm like, yeah, we're paying tribute to Ireland. We're not trying to imitate it. We're giving it a little Seattle spin. And that's our approach. So like that build at the end of that song, that's like, you're not going to hear that in Ireland. You're only going to hear that on my show.
on your show. And let's educate our listening audience just for a second. So there's, if you're wondering what Jeffrey's talking about, there's cover bands who basically play, you know, some Billy Idol or whatever. They play just a mishmash of different cover songs. Then there's then you take it to a different level, which is a tribute band, which focuses on a very specific band, and they look the part, they sound the part, they try to emulate it perfectly, whatever. And so when Jeffrey's talking about, you know, a different take, a different spin on what it is that they do, that's at an even higher level, where you have an original artist who, when they're doing songs that maybe are at the root of their genre or inspired them, they're paying tribute. So just a real quick bullet point on that. So when you approach a song like that and you know that you want to put your own spin on it, how does that look?
Well, I mean, I've got tricks in my bag of tricks that most violin players don't have. And then I've got this great band that, you know, has such a diverse background, you know, coming from, you know, I mean, like Mark Cardenas, keyboard player, you know, played in Purple Rain with Morris Day at the time. That's not a very Irish movie, but
you know,
he's bringing what he's got. Everybody's bringing their own flavor to every song. And we do a lot of our arrangements kind of sort of together, sort of, you know, playing off of each other and all of our different strengths. So really, you know, we end up finding new things in old material a lot. And that's what makes it fun.
That's a great collaborative approach, man. I didn't know that exactly thing about that. But so how much, I mean, listen, it's not the Jeffrey Castle band, it's Jeffrey Castle. So I'm sure you give your artist, I mean, how much leeway do you give them? Or is it just absolutely a collaborative thing where everyone's just throwing ideas into the mix?
Well, it's just, you know, show up on time for the gig, guys. You know, basically, you know, when I put a band together, the thing, you know, they're not, you know, hired guns. I'm not like the Nashville star in the big white hat with the faceless guys behind me in the dark playing the songs as close to the record as they can. That's not my deal.
Right.
You know, we're an ensemble. Everybody brings their own, you know, I expect everybody to just step up and bring 100% of what they've got that makes them unique. And we put it all in a big pot and stir it up and serve it to you.
Like some Irish stew? A
little Irish soda bread on the side.
Hey, I got a favor to ask of you. So Cracky owns a guitar, but he doesn't really play it. It just kind of sits on his wall. Do you think that if you ever came through Chicago, you'd ever let Cracky get up on stage with you and play the penny whistle?
Oh, it's hard to. I'm all about giving people opportunities to humiliate themselves, you know.
Oh my
God. Bring it, Cracky, bring it.
I'm gonna trade my guitar in for a penny whistle and start practicing now.
There you go, it's a deal.
There you go, awesome. Hey, time for sales pitch. It is February 2022, the world is starting to kind of gain some normality, if you will. I'm afraid to even say that. Doesn't matter that the album was put out in 2017. That wasn't really that long ago. It is a bundle.
Two of the years don't count, so it's okay.
Yeah, two of the years don't count. Exactly. So what is it? What, tell people why they should get out there and go to your website or go to, you know, tell them where they can find it, why they should buy it. I'm gonna start off with buy it because there are 16 songs and they're all badass and they'll all make you shake your ass. But what's your sales pitch and where can people find them?
I mean, I don't have a sales pitch. I just show up with my violin and people buy my music.
That's a sales pitch.
What I tell folks is whatever it is you're expecting, that's what you're not going to get.
Nice.
You're about to find something unique. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, what we do and the way we do it and what I do and the way I do it is really unique. I mean, this isn't something you get to see everywhere day in and day out. This is, unless you lived in Kirkland about 10 years ago, but you know, this is unique. And, you know, buy a ticket, buy the music, and by buying the music and buying a ticket, you're also keeping independent artists alive. Not just me, but, you know, I mean, the small village of people that travel with me when I do these things, you know, exactly. I've got tech guys and lighting guys and sound guys, five-piece band and special guests and, you know.
Merch.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, you're helping keep this community together and vibrant, and we need you as much as you need us, you know, in your lives. It's a togetherness thing. It flows back and forth.
Yeah, it's an energy that's distributed back. I mean, you said earlier on in the interview is that, you know, we all need each other. We're all not that different. And see, you know, I was kind of joking around about a sales pitch, right, quote, in quotes. But what you said, it's a great pitch. It's a great whatever. And people should get out and see it for sure.
It really is, because the artists, like you said, that kind of blow apart my expectations. Those are the shows I remember. Those are the records I remember and go back to. There's bands who are good. There's bands that are just great and put together a great show. You go have a good time. Don't overlook those. Those are great. But the records you keep going back to, the artists you look forward to coming back to town, those are the ones that kind of, again, take it beyond what that expectation that you had, that put a new twist on something. So, man, keep doing it and get your butt to Chicago, man.
Oh, you bet, man. I've always wanted to do a gig in Chicago, and I've done private things in Chicago, but conferences and, you know, corporate kind of things. I get hired for that kind of stuff too. But it would be fun to come and do like a real honest to God show in Chicago.
You got like great Irish communities, you know, in some of these bigger cities like Chicago. So I think we'd come out, but yeah. Keep doing it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think Cracky might even be able to send a couple ideas your way. Things that he's there. Well, you said you wanted to be a tour manager. You could be a part-time publicist.
Here's your chance.
Here's your opportunity.
A booking agent as well, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to
be
funny.
My buddy's backyard. The first show will be my buddy's backyard for about 20 people, but yeah.
Hey, as long as it pays $3,000. Yeah. Well, I tell you, Jeffrey, I look forward to when your next effort comes out. I know it's going to be, like you said, 5 years of Bundled Up. And I am definitely going to, I've got all the dates. I'm going to work to get to one of those, because the last time I saw you perform was at the Temple Theater in Tacoma. And I want to just re-echo what you said is, you know, I completely knew what I was going to get, which was going to be badassery. And I was shocked. I mean, it was the way you had just the bands kind of layered up and the song, the set list and everything. It was not what I expected. So for those of you listening out there, he's not pulling your leg. He's truthful. So speaking of all of our artist brothers and sisters before. Yeah, exactly. I hope that was a leg. Being part of this community, man, you know, damn well there's some artists out there who are still struggling. What words would you have for them?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you're struggling, if you're losing hope, try to reach out and get the support that you need, and don't quit. And here's the thing. Being a musician has never been easy. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. So keep your hand in, keep going, keep trying, and open yourself up to as many possibilities and potentialities as you can. But there's a million pieces of advice, but the single best piece of advice that I ever got when I was first starting out, I was like 19, and I'm talking to my friend who was a composer and a guest conductor for the New York Philharmonic, and he goes, "So you want to be a musician?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "What kind of car you got?" how's it running? And I started laughing. He goes, if you show up on time, that separates you from 99.8% of every other musician out there. And if you show up on time prepared, you'll get the call back.
Yeah.
How's your car?
Great of it. How's your car?
How's it running?
That should be the name of your next album. How's your car? How's your car? No, that's
great. Okay, three times in 2020 from Seattle. And there's a sound the road makes. And that sound, you know, I'm driving a truck through the Canyonlands. There's a vibe in the West. There's a vibe. You know, you don't see all this stuff if you fly over, but if you're driving a truck through it, you will see this land that we live in a completely different way. And for me, anyway, I would turn the radio off and just listen to the road and look around me. And there was a soundtrack to that landscape. And I think that's what I'm going to do next. I think I'm going to be making a record that has nothing to do with anything other than the sound that's playing in my head while I'm driving through this amazing landscape of the American West.
One of my favorite songs is Highway Junkie. And yeah, that would be good.
Oh yeah.
I think it's something that would actually be very timely and remind people how we are connected by, you know, not just as people, but by roads, right? I mean, there's so few people that I've met, I've done even a small amount of the traveling I've done, like living in Europe and doing whatever. It's like they either go into Disneyland or Vegas or whatever. And it's like, wow, you know, get on those roads. I mean, that's a big, beautiful country with a lot to offer. So, providing a soundtrack to that, great.
Little miracles everywhere you look, you know? And you know, you meet people, you know, the different places have different sounds, you know, and I mean, you go through a place that, I mean, I actually drove through a place where there's a gas station that actually says, you have reached the middle of nowhere. And they have a peg zoom, and, you know, they have like the middle of nowhere bugs and literally, like, you look around you. Everywhere you look, there is nothing.
Just did you flat. Say they had a petting zoo?
Yeah, with llamas.
I want that T-shirt.
Man, I'll get you one next time I'm passing through there.
Have you ever been on the way to through Wyoming to Denver and Little America? Those signs, they have these giant billboards for like 100 miles, Little America. 80 miles, Little America. It goes down to like 10 miles. You'll be in Little America. It's a giant truck stop. It's like, what the?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
But you have to go because you've seen the sign. That, and it's like it's like this tension that's building and building and building. And then you get there and it's a truck stop.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's why we need to enjoy our journeys, man.
Enjoy the journey.
Journey is sometimes is much better than destination. It's sometimes much better than destination. Yeah, exactly. Hey, so before we get today, why don't you throw those websites out for both yourself and Shannon's art website and where else people can find out about you with upcoming gigs, etc.
Well, the single easiest way for people to find out where I'm playing and which show they want to come to is by going to jeffreycastle.com. Right there on the landing page are all the dates and the links and everything. Super easy. And all my music is on there, too. So, you know, everybody's been talking about how little money you make from Spotify and how much money you make if someone buys a CD or downloads direct from the artist. So, hey, you can download all of my music on my website right now. With a click, it's kind of cool.
Exactly.
And I don't even have to put an envelope in the mail. And if you want to see what my wife, Shannon, does, and you actually really do, go to shannoncastleart.com. And we are shipping prints of her creations all over the world. So if you want to have one of her mermaids on your wall, we can make that happen.
Awesome. I love it. That's a positive attitude. And get there now. When you're listening to this, don't wait. Don't put her on your task list, because Jeffrey's got shows coming up March 11th in Port Angeles, March 12th in Bothell, March 17th in Everett, and March 18th in Kirkland. And more coming, more coming. So get on there. Get tickets now. I will see you out there. Jeffrey, it's been great having you, brother.
Man, it's great to be talking with you guys again. It's good to see your faces. And nice to meet you, Cracky.
Hey, nice to meet you. I love it.
My future tour manager.
Exactly. And he, just so you know, he is not joking. A lot of guests we've had on the show, when they go through Chicago, some of the bands have actually stayed at his place. But he goes out and catches them, does whatever. So that's our man, Cracky.
Oh, yeah, man. If I'm passing through Chicago, I will holler.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, we have to play one more song. And it's funny because it's one that you suggested, but it just happens to be my personal favorite song on the Celtic Knight album. It's called Fisherman's Blues. I don't know why it's my favorite one, because I love them all, but that one just really, it just really kind of just resonates with me. So we're gonna take the show out today with that. But why don't you tell people about what they're about ready to hear?
Fisherman's Blues is one of my favorite. I picked up a cassette tape way back in the early 90s on the road by a band called the Waterboys. And this song just stopped me in my tracks. And the Waterboys are a band out of Ireland. And this is our take on their, it's a hit. It's also a standard. Like if you go into any pub anywhere in the world, everywhere you go, there's an Irish pub, and in that pub is somebody playing this song. This is Fisherman's Blues.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeffrey. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio and recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration platform. This is Fisherman's Blues by today's guest, Jeffrey Castle.
and I know I will be loosened from the bonds that hold me fast, and the chains all around me will fall away at last. And on that grand and faithful day, I will take thee in my hand, and I will ride on a train. I will be the fisherman.
Thank you for tuning into Houston on Seattle Wave Radio. Keep an eye out for our next mission, where we interview and unveil behind-the-scenes aspects of some of your favorite artists. Houston, Seattle Wave Radio base here. Our podcast has landed.